Book of Isaiah, chapter 64. And let me start reading in the 6th verse and read on to the 8th verse. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 to verse 8. The prophet said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. But thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we are all the work of thy hand." Amen. I want to take our thought today from this subject, the potter's house, at the potter's house. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Pottery is one of the oldest inventions of humans. They go back to the very earliest of civilizations, when they would dig clay out of the ground and form it into very primitive little patterns. And they were very, very fragile vessels and very utilitarian vessels. But in the most ancient cultures that archaeologists have dug up, there are pieces of pottery, sometimes even whole pieces of pottery. Pieces of pottery that are literally thousands of years old, and they're still intact. Those that were beautiful then are still beautiful now. Those that were utilitarian then are still utilitarian now. Yet they have endured all of time, and they still stand there as a testimony to somebody's art. Pottery is centuries and centuries and millennia old, and it's still with us today. They would dig the clay, and then they began to learn different methods and different kinds of clay and how to make and mold different things. And then they began to experiment with firing and learn that you could put it into a fire, and if you will give it as much as 900 degrees Fahrenheit, it hardens to a point that time can't destroy it. Now, it's still brittle enough. This is a beautiful mug here that somebody gave me, and I appreciate it. It's got coffee on it, cappuccino and espresso and mocha and all the good stuff. It's all right there. And this is good, but it would break. Nobody break it, but it would. Amen. And if it does, I'll have to get another one. But somebody made this. Of course, now it's a process. We've reached such a place of modernization that everything is mass produced. But there are still places that pottery is made by hand. Still made in the old time way. In time they learned that if they wanted to make a bigger pot and they couldn't just scoop it out and mold it, then they would make coils and roll it out into rolls and then stack them together and press them, and they could still make coiled kinds of pottery. And then over time, somebody in Egypt supposedly they formed a wheel, and they learned that you could put on a wheel, you could turn the wheel, and while the wheel's turning, you could shape it. And it turned automatically, and it was a smoother process. And until Bible times, they had the potter's wheel perfected to the point that it became two wheels. And there was a wheel on the bottom, about 20 inches of stone, and you could kick that with your foot and make it twirl. And then here was another stone platform where you actually made the vessel and fashioned it the way that you wanted it to be. So pottery was was a part of life. We take it for granted now. Amen. Everybody here, I'm sure you've got cups and glasses in your house. We just take that for granted, don't we? Amen. I lived in a place one time where it was a lot poorer than it is here. And people usually ate in groups of two or three, four, because that's all the dishes they had. They'd have four plates, and they'd have four cups, and they'd have perhaps four forks, and they'd feed the preacher and the missionary, and then they'd wash the dishes, and they'd feed somebody else, because that was all they had. And I was told that if they traveled in Nicaragua, it was good to take your own spoon, because you would go places they didn't have, nobody had another spoon. So if you ate with a spoon, you literally were taking somebody else's vessel. We're mighty blessed, folks. I'm not talking about thousands of years ago. I'm talking about 10 years ago. And I'm talking about today. So if you're like us and you've got dishes, we don't only have dishes that we eat out of, Brother Fry. We got dishes we decorate with. I mean, we got stuff hanging around the top up there collecting dust, and you know, and so we're blessed folk. We're blessed people. Amen. I want you to say that with me. Thank you, God, I'm a blessed person. Say it again. Thank you, God, I'm a blessed person. Help me not to complain. Help me not to murmur. Help me not to talk about how bad I've got it. I'm a blessed person. Amen. I'm a blessed person. Amen. Because that we are today. Amen. And so they would make pottery still today. It's a great art to make beautiful pottery, handmade pottery. Amen. And it's still an awesome work. Amen. There's some pottery that was very common and used just to hold liquid, some for water, some for storage, all kinds of things that were not very good in our house. You know, we got a, of course now it's made out of plastic. We don't make it out of pottery, but we got plastic cans we throw trash in. Anybody got a trash can in your house? Are you glad you got a trash can in your house? Amen. It works, does it? It's a good thing. I'd hate to be in a house without a trash can. Amen. I've seen here in the church, we got trash cans and people still throw it on the floor. Oops, how did I sneak that in there? But trash cans are important. They're a vessel, and I know they're not made out of clay right now, and some are, but it's nice to have a vessel. I know it's utilitarian. It's not fancy, but it works. Anybody got a dish pan in your house? It's utilitarian. It's not, you don't stand around people, oh, what a beautiful dish pan. Oh, that's lovely. Where did you get that? No, but it's utilitarian. It has a purpose. It's nice to have a dish pan, a mop pail. We don't stand around and say, oh, what a nice mop pail you got there. That's awesome. That's the most beautiful mop pail I've ever seen. I use it for swabbing floors and cleaning stuff, but it has a purpose. It's a good thing. Amen. Praise God. Well, I know this is going to get a little gross here, but thank God I have a commode in my house. Are you glad you got one? Amen. Amen. It's utilitarian. Amen. It's not something that's glorious and those people don't admire it. Amen. I saw one of this. It looked like it was made out of marble. It was very unique. I've never seen one like that. Amen. But it's something that's... A lot of those are made out of clay and made out of pottery. Somebody learned to make that. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. All of these are uses of a pottery. Some of them are glorious. Some of them are inglorious. Some of them are honorable. Some are not so honorable. Amen. But they're all important. And there were, you know, some people have dishes that are so fancy they never use them. Oh, they're pretty, but you never use them. We had some china one time, and well, it's so nice, and we had an evangelist come, and so we brought out the good stuff that I never get to eat on. Forgot we had it. We got to eat out of it that day, and And one of the kids broke a plate. Man, but you know what? I appreciate my good wife. She didn't get all worried about that. It was just a plate. We didn't buy another one for years. And a few years ago, we were over here in Tyler at the Goodwill. And guess what? They had a whole set of that stuff. And we bought the whole set for less than we could have bought one plate for. So, you know, God just bless us for not being grumpy. Just hang in there. Don't get hung up on stuff. It's just stuff. Amen. And so don't get worried about if somebody breaks a little bit of stuff. It's just stuff. Amen. It can all be replaced in time. It's not anything that important. Amen. It's not worth ruining a friendship over. None of that business. Amen. But let me also say, if you break somebody's plate, buy them another one. Be nice. Amen. Amen. Aren't we having fun today? Amen. And so the Lord said to Jeremiah, He said, go to the potter's house. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. He went down to the potter's house, and he watched as the potter began to work his work on the wheel, and the clay became uncooperative for whatever reason, and whatever was in the mind of the potter originally, he had to change, and he had to make it another way and another vessel. You see, sometimes God has a plan and God has a will for us, but if we're too willful that we want it our way, God will have to make us another way. And we do not always become what He intended, but we can, through our own rebellion, become something different than God intended us to be. God intended every one of us to have a good life. Now, when I say a good life, I'm not talking about a life without suffering, without trouble. Life is just going to have suffering, and life is just going to have trouble because we live in a world of sin and trouble. But God intended that you should have a life at least of righteousness and peace and joy. That is the will of God. God wants your home to be full of joy. God wants your home to be full of peace. We were traveling for about 2 years in an old motor home. I think it was a 78 model. This was back in the late 90s. We had a 78 model motor home, and it was not real pretty. Somebody kind of commented on a time or two, but it's what we had. And we were glad for it. Never left us stranded. Amen. When I pulled up the Taco Bell to order, you know, through the drive-thru, I'd have to turn it off because it was so loud. I could never keep the exhaust fixed on it. And I'd replace, you know, those little donut gaskets, and it'd burn them out in no time. It got so hot it melted all the spark plugs one time. And it was fun. Every day I had off, I was under there working on that thing. Keep it going. But it carried us all across the United States and up into Canada. I mean, we traveled everywhere. Amen. We were one night in somewhere, I think it was Washington, state of Washington somewhere, and we were in there, and we were just having a good time popping popcorn, laughing and having a good time. It was late at night, maybe 11 o'clock, and somebody come banging on the door, and we answered the door thinking, who in the world's here at 11 o'clock? And somebody said, sounds like y'all are having so much fun in there. And we were. Amen. God wants you to have a good life. God wants you to have joy in your life. God wants you to have peace in your life. Amen. He does. He wants you to have a blessed home. A place where you feel safe and your children feel safe. And people can come in. I heard a guy one time, he said, my house is so peaceful. He said, our dog and our cat get along. Amen. And peace in his house. God wants you to have that kind of life. But Sometimes God doesn't get his way. Sometimes God makes another vessel. And that's what he's telling the prophet. He said, about Israel, he said, I wanted Israel to be like this. But because I couldn't make them the way I wanted to make them, I have to make them a different way. God has an alternative plan, but he always has for you the best plan. He always has good in mind for you and right in mind for you. It's always God's plan. Sometimes he has to make things a little bit differently. Amen. So there's a process that goes on in the potter's house. The process is, clay, when they find it, they dig it up and they dry it out. And then after they get it dried out, then they put it in water and they get it wet again. And they let it soak there and for a long time. They let it cure for months at a time. And then they dig it up again and they take it out of the water and they put it in a different place and they add some things to it until it comes to the right consistency. And then the potter gets in with his feet and he begins to step on it and it squishes under his feet and up between his toes and he just steps all over the clay and he works it until he knows it gets to the right consistency. You ever feel like you're getting stomped on? All right, now. Amen. Some stuff coming into your life, you think, what in the world are you doing here? I don't need that. And the potter says, oh, yes, you do. Amen. Now, you just think you don't need that. Right. Amen. You see, he's the potter. And you don't have any say-so. You know, one thing that'll help us about God, if we learn about God, is that God's sovereign. He doesn't ask your permission to do things. Shake your head like this right here. Yeah, that's right. He doesn't ask your permission. He knows what's best, and he just goes ahead and he does it. Whether you like it or whether you don't. And God adds some stuff sometime that we don't want him to add to us. Anybody here love patience? Don't you love just going through trouble so you can learn how to be patient? God says you need some patience, and the only way you get patience is to endure some stuff. So here's some stuff to endure. Amen. And you think, Lord, I don't want that. Don't add that. He says, but that's what you need. And that's what he gives you. Amen. And Paul, you remember Paul one time? Paul was asking God, he had this whatever ailment it was, and he said, God, I want you to take away this sickness. And he prayed, heal me, O God. And he prayed three times. Had a lot of faith, but he didn't get healed. God just kept throwing it back. Said, Paul, you need this. You need this. Amen. And finally, Paul said, okay. Amen. God said, I'm going to give you this ailment. I'm going to give you this problem, but I'm also going to give you grace to deal with it. Amen. And so God always, with the trouble that comes, with the problems that come, with the trials that come, God always puts grace in there. God always puts mercy in there. God always puts strength in there. Whatever he needs to add, he adds the whole package to us. And then he mixes it in. Amen. He keeps, until he gets it to the right place, he keeps mixing it in. Amen. And then when everything gets right, after you get under his feet, then he takes you in his hands. Hallelujah. And he lifts, he scoops you up. Amen. And then he throws you down on the wheel. And you're without a form. You ever kind of felt like that? That you're just a mess? God don't want to leave you a mess. He wants to make something out of you. All of us started out being a mess. Shake your head like this. That's right, brother. I was a mess. When God got a hold of me, I was a mess. I'm still a bit of a mess. But thank God he's not finished yet. And so he puts that mass, unformed mass with potential. It's got everything in it that it needs to become what he wants it to be. He's got it just like he wants it. And then, and only then, he begins to form the vessel. And if you've ever watched a potter, it's amazing what they can do as he spins the wheel. And then he he runs his hand down into the heart of that matter, and he begins to press his way to the outside, and he presses in here, and it begins to take a form and a shape, and he keeps going down and bringing it up, and going down and bringing it up, and until he gets it to the proper height, and then he begins to shape all of the outside dimensions, and he just keeps on forming that, and it's the work of his hands. It's awesome. And God does that. He begins to shape your life the way he wants it to be. And you become the vessel that he had in mind when he placed you on the wheel. And then when he gets you molded the way that he wants you to be. And you know, sometimes when it's what Jeremiah's talking about, the potter was trying to get it to cooperate and it wouldn't. So he smashed it back down to a mass. And then he started all over again. But you know what? You can't keep doing that. You can only do that so many times and you can't do it anymore. Because the clay reaches a place where it's no longer pliable. Some vessels that were tended to be vessels of honor became not so honorable because he couldn't make it the vessel he wanted it to be. If you give God the option, he'll always make you better. He'll always make you the best. Now, by your own choices, you can limit what God can do with you. Shake your head this way. Yep, I can do that, Brother Grissom. By my own choices, I can limit what God wants to do with my life. Or, God can work with me without reserve and make me exactly what he wants me to be. We make that final decision. And so the master, he molds it until he gets it just like he wants it. And then with minute detail, he begins to examine what he has made. And then he begins to put details into it, and there's a process like the writing on this cup, and somebody put all this design on there, and they got the color right, and then they began to put the design inside of it, and they began to make it just exactly the way they wanted it to be, and God wants to do that. You see, he works with his feet and then he works with his hands and he has a plan in mind. And then he begins to work with his eyes and his hands and he begins to inscribe on you everything he wants you to be. And then when he gets all of the details in place, you're going to go through a firing process. Because he wants you to be a vessel that is not only beautiful and utilitarian, but he wants you to be a vessel that will endure. And so he puts you in a furnace and he heats it up to about 900 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. You ever felt like you're in the fire? Ever feel like you're in the furnace? God, why is it so hot in here? What's going on? Amen. He's got you right where he needs you. All the details are there. He wants to preserve all of the work he's put in there. And so he goes to the firing process and finally the work of his hands is set. Amen. Praise God. And then, and only then, is the vessel ready for its purpose. And then you're taken out of the vessel and you're sent out into the world. Now, most of the time, a potter does not make a vessel of his own just to set on a shelf. He makes it to send with somebody else. He makes it to make the world a better place. He makes it for a purpose. Now, God, most of us, he did not make us just to set on a shelf somewhere. You know, there's not very many show horses in the world. You know what I mean? There's a lot of horses in the world, but most of them are not show horses. Most of them are work horses. God made a whole lot more work horses than he did show horses. And you don't really get a choice of which one you are. You either are or you ain't. Amen. I've never regretted that God didn't make me a show horse. I'd hate that. I don't want to be bored, you know, being... I'm uncomfortable when people pamper me. Sorry, I am. Amen. I know some guys that get sick and they want to be pampered all the time. Amen. Not me. If I can do it myself, I'm going to. Amen. I don't want a whole lot of pampering, carrying on. Amen. I'm just used to doing stuff myself. And I'm comfortable doing that. Amen. I'm not real comfortable in people doing a lot of stuff. I'm just used to... Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Now, I'm not getting on anybody's case here today. I'm just saying that's, you know, I'm just a workhorse. It's what I am. God made me that way. Amen. And I'm like Ogden Nash. Amen. As for beauty, I'm no great star. The other's more handsome by far. But my face, I don't mind it. I'm the one that's behind it. It's the folks out front that I jar. So you see, you just learn in life that you just get happy about being who you are. I like working. I like doing things. I like accomplishing things with my life. Amen. I like serving. I'm uncomfortable being served. Amen. It's the process. You see, God made you with a purpose in mind. And you are going to be the happiest when you fulfill that purpose. Amen. And when you're not fulfilling that purpose, you're not going to be a happy person. And God wants you to be as happy as you can possibly be. Amen. And you will be when you fulfill His plan. He made you with a purpose. Everybody here. Amen. He made you with a purpose. We are the work of His hands. He is the potter. We are the clay. Amen. And the clay never looks up at the potter and says, "What in the world do you think you're doing? I don't want to be like this." Amen. Praise God. If I designed people, I would have designed them a little differently. Anybody got any feature that you'd change if you could? Don't be ashamed to shake your head. Yeah, you do, some of you. Yeah. I got enough ears for two people, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. I know some people, they love to talk so much that they'd gladly trade both ears for another mouth. So they'd never have to listen and talk full time. We'd all like to make a little improvement if we could on the design, but we don't get that choice. God made you the way He wants you to be. Amen. And He made you with a purpose. Every potter's house has a potter's field. Now, you don't want to go to the potter's field. The potter's field is littered with potsherds, that is, broken pieces of pottery that couldn't stand the test and broke into pieces. And really, once it's broken into pieces, there's only two things you can do with it. You can take a potsherd and you can grind it back to powder. And you can add it to other clay to give it character and other things. But it has to be ground back to a powder state. Or it can simply just be thrown out into the field. That's what Job was using. Talked about Job in our Sunday school lesson for a couple of lessons. And that's what he was using to scrape the top off of those old boys. He was in a potter's field somewhere. And he was using that potsherd to scrape himself in his misery and in his pain. And so that's not a pleasant place. We all remember Judas. Judas was the man that thought he knew better than God. I don't know Judas' motive. I don't know. I don't know what his motive was in selling Jesus Christ. There are some that believe that he sought that he would, if he could force Jesus to present himself as the Messiah, and that his motive may have been, in his own mind, an honorable thing. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he sold him out of disappointment. I don't know if he sold him trying to force him to be something that he was not going to be. I don't know what his motive was. But I do know that Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And I do know that later Judas came to himself and realized the atrocity that he had committed. And he came back to the temple. Now, it's very interesting. When it says he came to the temple, he didn't just come to the premises. He marched all of the way past the court of the Gentiles and the court of the women and the court of the Jews. And he walked right back to the holy place where the priests were. And he brought that bag of gold that he had, or silver that he had. He brought it with him and to that place. And he begged them to take it back and let him have Jesus. And they said, no. And that silver that he had sought after became so despicable that he literally thrust it down on the floor of the temple and rushed out of there. And so tragically, the Bible says that he went out and he hanged himself. And the Bible says the men that I cannot imagine people becoming this callous. But the people realized that they couldn't, this money, they said, this is blood money. Well, they're the ones that gave it to him. Supposedly righteous men gave him that money. They're the ones that bought the blood of Jesus Christ. It was on their hands, not on the money. They said, this is blood money. So the Bible says they bought a field, a potter's field. And in that field they buried people, undesirables like Gentiles, that would die in the city, and they'd bury them in the potter's field. And so the travesty is that when the pottery cannot submit to the will of the potter, it only is fit for the potter's field. And that's not where we want to go. We want to always be pliable. And after we've been fashioned, we want to be subject to His purpose so that He can make us valuable for the Master's use. Amen. There's a little poem I read about a vessel. It was a It realized its value, that all it had to do was to remain available and empty so that it could be filled with whatever the Master wanted to fill it with. And that's our goal in life, is to be available. That's the greatest ability, is availability. Just be available. If you can be available and you can be empty enough that God can pour in you what He desires and what He needs, rather than being so full of ourselves and what we want and what we desire and our own will and our own plans, but we can be empty enough that God can literally pour into us what He wants to do, then we become valuable to Him. And that's the importance of being a vessel. That's what God wants us to be. That's what God needs for us to be. I'm closing with a story. I heard a pastor one time that had taken a trip to Israel, and he was in Jerusalem going through some shops, and he was in a potter's house, and the shelves were lined with beautiful vessels, and he was showing them all the vessels. And the pastor saw one vessel that, of all the others, it was very unique. And he said, what about that one up there? He said, I really like that one. He said, oh, sir. He said, everything in here is for sale but that one. He said, I won't sell that one. And he said, why not? What's so special? He said, well, it's a story. He said, I was making that vessel, and I made it, and it would not hold its form. And he said, so I smashed it down. And And I refashioned it. And he said it would not hold its form. And he said, I became angry, and I thought, well, it's not any good. I'm just going to throw this away. He said, and about that time, he said, somehow I cut my finger. And he said, my blood got into the clay. And somehow the chemical changed the character of the clay just enough that I thought, I'll try it one more time. And he said, so I fashioned it one more time. And he said, that time, it held the form and it became exactly what I wanted it to be. And he said, that vessel has my blood in it. It's part of me. And he said, I'll never sell that one. Amen. I want you to know today that you're not only clay, but you have some of his blood in you. Amen. When it cost him something to form us. It cost him something to fashion our lives. It cost him something to make us today. You're not thoughtlessly made, but the Bible said you're marvelously made. And you're beautifully made. God used thought when he made you, and he used great care. And even the blood of Jesus Christ is involved in making us to be what he wants us to be. So we're special today to God. Amen. You're a very special vessel. Let's stand together, shall we? Amen. That's why you and I have to be more careful today. We cannot become careless in our lives. I know that we live in a careless world. We live in a frivolous world. We live in a carefree world. But as Christians, we cannot allow ourselves to live that way. Because we have a purpose. Amen. We have a plan to fulfill. God's will is involved in our lives. Amen. Each of us today, you have a special place. You have a special place. Amen. Praise God. And I would remind you today, live so carefully that you can always fulfill the supreme will of God and become all that he wants you to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I offer hope today to anybody that feels like your life is a mess. That's what God always starts with. He always starts with just a lump. He always starts with something that is sadly misshapen. And then he begins the process to mold it and to make it after his image into what he wants it to be. So if you can bring God a mess, he can make you a masterpiece. Amen. And today, if you're a formed vessel, if you can just bring God emptiness, he can fill you with worth and value and goodness and mercy and grace and love and truth and righteousness. Amen. That's the kind of vessel that we want to be today. Praise the Lord. God's good. He has great design, great plan for you and for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me open this altar for a season of prayer this morning. Amen. If you want to come and pray and you want to come and talk to the Lord, and a time of dedication, a time of renewal, a time of refreshing, a time of repentance. Amen. A place to start again. Amen. Thank you, God, for a place that I can start over.